Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today, I want to talk about the one thing that truly limits you when it comes to faith, and that is simply having doubt, not believing in God the way we should. Doubt is probably the greatest robber of the blessings that God has for us, and it's something that we see time and time in Scripture. And it's one of those things that we need to really get into our head, that doubt can rob us of everything that God has for us, especially because we're called to be overcomers, to truly strive to be more than what we were yesterday. This comes out to us in one of my favorite scriptures, found in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. And Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, to go before him to the other side. And when he sent the multitude away, he went into the mountain to pray, to be alone. When evening had come, he was there all by himself. But the ship that was in the middle of the sea was being tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary to it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them by walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they all cried out with fear. But Jesus told them, "Be of good cheer, it is just only me. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered and said to him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter got out of the boat, he walked on the water and went to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. So he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Just one of these great stories that I love. I remember reading a couple times when I was going through seminary, and each time I always found it funny that Peter wanted to get out of the boat. He was tired of being there with those losers, kind of the way I jokingly described it. And he saw Jesus walking on the water. Everybody else was afraid, and they were like, "It's a ghost. It's got to be dead. No man can walk on water." But Jesus is saying, "Well, hold on, it's just me." And Peter looked and he says, "Hey, that's where I want to be. I want to be out of this boat. I want to be away from these morons. I want to be with Jesus." So he tells Jesus, "Hey, that's really you? Bid me to come walk out there. I'll get out there and we'll be fine." So he got this whole got out of the boat thing and he started walking. Now, when he's walking, didn't take him very long to realize that he was doing something supernatural. Started looking around. He started realizing, "Well, wait a minute. I'm out of the boat. I'm walking on water." And of course, Jesus, he knew it was going to happen. He knew he would take his eyes off him and start realizing where he was at, checking his surroundings out. And he started to sink and he cries out, "Lord, help me." And the scripture tells you that Jesus just immediately reached out and grabbed him. He started sinking. Peter started sinking with Jesus within arm's reach. He was almost where he was getting to go. And that's when he failed. When Jesus caught him, basically looked him in the eye and says, "You know what? Disappoint me, Peter. Because you're a man of little faith." See, this here was a simple story. It's one of my favorite. And it tells you that basically during the fourth watch of the night, which is somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water toward them. They thought he was a ghost because they were afraid he was dead. But Jesus basically tried to reassure them by saying, "Hey, it's just me." We get like that. We start feeling that God has abandoned us, We start realizing the hopelessness because of all the troubles that we experience in life. And when we finally get the experience of God in our lives, we almost doubt it. And we almost get robbed of that blessing that comes from really realizing who He is. But Jesus still cries out, "Hey, don't be afraid. It's just me." So, of course, Peter, seeing Jesus walking on the water, like many of us, got bravado, and he says, "You know, if it's really you, I want to do something miraculous too." How many times in our difficulties do we want something miraculous to justify what's going on? We want that Powerball. We want that extra money. We want to be able to have this power of God flowing through us. We want to be more than conquerors through Him who loves us. We want healing instead of endurance. And we lose sight of Him by looking at all the things that we're overcoming just by being focused on Him. See, while Jesus was right there in Peter's eyes, while he kept his eyes on Jesus, he did just fine. It was only when Peter took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the circumstances that surrounded him that he noticed the wind whipping about and the sea being exactly the floor upon which he walked, that he became afraid and started to sink. "Lord, save me," was his cry when this happened. Jesus was close enough to take Peter's hand, just like he's close enough to take our hands when we fail. But we get to hear him as he leads us back to the boat by saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" See, faith is acting upon the word of God, realizing that God is there working in our behalf and for our behalf. And as long as Peter acted on what Jesus had spoken to him, he did all right. It's only when he doubted, when he became afraid and quit acting upon the message that he had gotten from Jesus, that he began to sink. Jesus didn't intend Peter to sink. He wanted Peter to walk back with him into the boat. But doubt robbed Peter of this blessing. Doubt and fear definitely go hand in hand, just like faith and love go hand in hand. Because if we look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. We don't have to be afraid. We just have to realize and walk by faith and not get excited by the circumstances that surround us. Because the life of God gives us the power to overcome. This is the divine exchange that comes with Him becoming divine, human, and imparting to us eternal life, which is the divine life that we are granted through Him. Many people want the miraculous, but they fail to see that this miraculous is the result of something He's already done for, through, and in us. Matthew 17 talks about a situation in which a certain man came to Jesus, and his son was in a very bad situation. He was considered to be a lunatic because he would fall down in the fire and the water and do a whole bunch of crazy things. And they brought him first to his disciples, but they were unable to do anything. So in Matthew 17, 17, Jesus answers and says, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I suffer from you? Bring this child hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed from him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus, and they go, "Hey, why couldn't we cast him out?" And Jesus just basically replied, "You could have. The only reason you didn't was because of your unbelief." A lot of people hate that message. They like to think that there's some tweak that needs to be done, that maybe sometimes God says yes, sometimes no, sometimes maybe. And they look for all these other explanations, rather than realizing that the real failure was in themselves, not in Christ. Jesus explained the disciples' failure to heal the demon-possessed boy. He basically told them it was because of their doubt and unbelief. This is what comes out of verse 20 of Matthew 17. The disciples had the power to cast the demon out. This was a power that was given to them in Matthew 10, verse 1, when Jesus calls together his 12 and he gives them power over the unclean spirits, basically to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. A lot of people miss this because they think that they need to pray for more power from God, not realizing the power that we already have by being children of God. We think that if we have more power, we'll be able to work miraculous things. But the problem is not a lack of power, it's the lack of faith. It's the doubt that's robbing people of God's best. Jesus didn't tell the disciples that their failure to cast the devil out was because they didn't have the power of God. He said it was merely their lack of belief. This is because every spirit-filled believer has within them all the power of the Godhead to claim what God wants for their lives in the way in which he allows them those privileges. It doesn't mean that we're going to have it without the storms of life. In fact, a lot of times the storms in life prove to us this power that God has, something that we need to really realize. Notice the way the storm parable goes one more time in Mark chapter 4. See, in Mark chapter 4, starting on the 35th verse, Jesus tells his disciples to pass to the other side. And then he gets into the boat, and as they're going, he falls asleep. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship so that it was now full. Jesus was in the back part of the boat, asleep on a pillow, and they woke him up crying out, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" And he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, "Why were you fearful? How is it you had no faith?" What was the faith they were supposed to have? It was a faith in his promise to go to the other side. See, on evening, after a full day of preaching to the multitude, Jesus wanted to get to the other side, so he told them, "Let's pass to the other side." He was weary from his long day, and he promptly fell asleep into the back of the boat, oblivious of the storm that rose. He continued in sleep peacefully, despite the waves that pounded the little boat. His disciples were anything but peaceful. They noticed the howling of the winds and how the boat kept getting full of water, and they woke Jesus up, and he says, "You know, you don't even care that we're going to die." But you see, they've forgotten the words of Jesus when he started out on that journey and when he told them to go to the other side. And this is what he was upset with. This is why he was upset that they didn't believe. Because when he stood up, rebuked the wind, and stilled the storm, the Sea of Galilee became calm and peaceful. And that's when he turned to his disciples and says, "Why did you doubt me? Why are you so full of fear? Where's your faith? Didn't I tell you from the outset of this journey that we would cross to the other side? Why didn't you believe me?" See, the disciples allowed doubt and fear to come into their heart, and it drove out the very promise that Jesus was trying to make sure that they would understand, because he had told them that they would go to the other side. The thief that's seen in this passage is a thief of doubt, which triumphs. And if we kind of notice these similarities in each of these three biblical illustrations, we see in each one Jesus rebuked the disciples for their unbelief. Matthew 14, 31, Matthew 17, 20, and Mark 4, verse 40. Each one of these, Jesus solved the problem the disciples had through their lack of faith and were unable to solve. In all three of these instances, the disciples had the power to handle the circumstances. In each of these instances, the thief of doubt kept the disciples from receiving God's best. And we too will only be able to utilize the divine power of God that has been given to us through the Holy Spirit and grace when we truly act upon what God tells us that we are to believe. And it's only then that we'll achieve the blessings that God has planned for our lives. Because this is what Mark 11:23 is talking about, when it says that whoever shall say unto a mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in their heart, that person will have those things which they say will come to pass. This is the reality that we as Christians are to walk in. I need you to really get this wrapped up into your mind today and really understand that doubt is your biggest enemy when it comes to the things of God. And if you truly understand that, you'll be transformed and be able to live a better life. So I'm going to keep this simple today and just get you focused on the fact that doubt is the biggest killer of where you're needing to go in life. And if you really get this, you'll truly be blessed and truly be able to do great things for God. And in that, you'll truly be blessed, especially today.